Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. No one ever says damn Diamondbacks or damn Astros or damn Tigers, and there's a good reason. The New York Yankees are baseball's ultimate Rorschach test. Their 27 World Series championships and a parade of Hall of Famers either make you love them or hate them. No other team has dominated the back pages or inspired more poetry, from the Ruth Gehrig era to today's modern dynasts Jeter and Rivera. But there's also plenty to dislike about the pinstripes. The Steinbrenner bravado, the big-spending dominance, the garish new stadium with its empty $1,000 seats, the presumption that little guys like the Twins should make way for New York in October. Former Sports Illustrated executive editor and author Rob Flader has assembled a full spectrum of Yankee musings in Damn Yankees, 24 Major League Writers on the World's Most Loved and Hated Team, which is published by Echo. Rob Flader, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thanks, Ian. Good to be here.
So a book called Damn Yankees, it's a good thing that the editor of the book is in fact a Yankee fan, just for a little bit of safe haven there. How did you become a Yankee fan?
I was born that way, Ian. I grew up in the New York area and have followed the Yankees all my life. I'm not even sure how it started. I mean, we come by our team loyalties in a variety of ways. I think some of us inherit it. Some of us, it's an accident of geography. Some get hooked on a particular player who catches your eye and you're devoted to. In my case, I think it was a combination of all those things. I grew up around them. They were always my team. I never felt like I had any choice in the matter.
And yet, in your introduction, you write that you often find yourself sort of sheepishly apologizing for that fact.
Well, it's true. And for all of the reasons that you enumerated, I mean, it's clear if you're a Yankee fan and have traveled anywhere in this country, and you really don't have to travel very far from New York or travel out of New York at all to realize there are as many people who hate the Yankees as love them. And you understand why. Over a period of time, you understand all of the things that are abhorrent to other people about the Yankees, or that seem their image of the Yankees is caught up with various impressions about New York and assumptions about the team. And they're not very likable things that people land on. So you come to understand it. And I think it all comes down to a basic sense of fairness. I realized even as a young kid that the Yankees won more often than seemed basically fair. And if they weren't my team, if I didn't enjoy watching them, not only for the quality of the baseball they play, but because they win, I'd probably loathe them myself. But I just happened to end up on the other side of the fence here.
It's funny. I was reading this book and kind of comparing the Yankees situation to that of maybe the National League leaders in championships, the Cardinals. No one goes around hating the Cardinals except for maybe Cub fans. In other sports, I've never heard any hockey fan I know complain about the Montreal Canadiens. What is it about the Yankees in baseball that inspires such hatred across virtually every other team's fan base?
It's interesting. It is an interesting question. You're right. There are no Cardinal haters, or they don't stand up to declare themselves. And I think there are a variety of things about the Yankees that alienate people. Part of it has to do with, in pure baseball terms, with free agency, particularly in the last 30 or 40 years since free agency became a real factor. There's a growing permanent sense the Yankees just buy everything they have, and they're good only because they spend ridiculous amounts of money to buy good players and bad, and that's the way they dominate. There's also, I think, a sense, it goes back to the old saying of rooting for the Yankees is like rooting for General Motors, that they're this corporate behemoth, they go onto the field in pinstripes, for crying out loud. They wear, pinstripe suits onto the field. There's an image of a corporate steamroller that violates our sense of fairness about sports, the way it's supposed to all be on an even playing field and, let the better man win and all of that. I think also people's certain of their impressions about New York itself are tied up with the Yankees, fairly or not, and that the team comes to embody things that people dislike about the city. So there are a lot of reasons, I think, and partly what Yankee fans see as professionalism and a devotion to playing the game properly and maintaining standards and playing at a high level, other people see as a cold-blooded, arrogance and a humorlessness and a lack of joy about the game. I mean, all of that is sort of embodied in Derek Jeter. He does not appear to be, having the time of his life out there. But he's been a magnificent player for 15, 17 years, and he's been under tremendous scrutiny and never taken a bad step. I mean, the guy has really been exemplary in many ways. And so I think you look at Jeter and you see everything that Yankee fans like about the Yankees and treasure about the Yankees and a lot of what other people hate, they perceive in Jeter a coldness and an arrogance that confirms all of their worst impressions about the Yankees. It's, as you say, it's a Rorschach test. It's a good indicator.
And yet, I think they'd all love to have Jeter if they could, if they could admit it. Like, Red Sox, Mets fans, whatever the team is, I think they secretly like it when the Yankees are good, as opposed to when the Yankees, and they have had very long stretches when they didn't win anything, let alone having, World Series championships. I think they like having something, a gold standard of this behemoth championship team to try to knock at. And as we've seen, the Red Sox were successful at it.
Yeah, and I think you're probably right about that. It's always nice to have something to shoot at. I mean, everybody loves an underdog, and to have an underdog, you got to have a favorite. And so it fits comfortably. The Yankees do fulfill a certain function and play a certain role out there that's necessary. And, there are players, I think, that even if you hate the Yankees, you don't have to love these players or feel a great personal affection for them, but you do. It's hard not to respect the way they play the game, the excellence that they represent. I mean, Jeter is such a player, Mariano Rivera certainly, but over time there have been just tremendously appealing human characters that have played for the team, and it also happened to be very good baseball players. I think of Catfish Hunter because there's a wonderful story about him in Damn Yankees.
Sure.
He played for the A's. He was a great pitcher before he came to the Yankees, and then he was instrumental in their sort of resurgence from a team that was very bad for a long time to a team that was finally winning again. And he was just a wonderful guy, an unassuming guy. He was from North Carolina, and a terrific writer named Mike Paterniti happened to have been with Catfish back home in North Carolina during the final months of his life. He was stricken with ALS, with Lou Gehrig's disease, and went home to be with his family and his people toward the end of his life. And it's just a wonderful piece about watching an athlete, this magnificent athlete who was this great hero, losing his body, losing his physical self, and maintaining his dignity throughout. It's just a beautiful piece of writing and a wonderful situation for a writer. I mean, it's a horrible situation, obviously, but it was a piece that Michael had never written. He was there to report it, and Catfish Hunter died, and no piece ever came out of it, and he was able to go back to that and write just a terrific piece. So, I mean, Catfish is one of those guys, love the Yankees or hate him, it's hard to dislike a guy like that.
I think back to Hemingway's The Old Man and the Sea, with its references to the great DiMaggio. And reading this book, you've assembled a lot of people who write about baseball for a living, but just writers who happen to turn in an essay or remembrance about the Yankees. Is there something inherently literary about this team?
Well, I think there's certainly something inherently literary about baseball. It's attracted writers throughout the 20th century and on into this century and continues to. And why that is true has been examined and dissected, as the Yankees have. But I think it's true. There is a poetry, there's a leisurely pace about the game that allows for, encourages kind of commentary and contemplation. And there's the drama and the spectacle that all sports have. And the combination of things, I think, make it great material for writers and attracts writers to the game and to the players. And I think, again, I mean, I did, as you say, tried to assemble an all-star team of writers here, and many of them are writers I worked with in my 20 years at Sports Illustrated, but many of them are writers who are not primarily associated with sports, but who have a special interest in sports and had some particular story that worked in this context and among this series of very distinctive voices.
When you were at SI, were the politics of putting a Yankee on the cover anything different than the normal cover discussions?
Absolutely. I mean, there's always tremendous self-consciousness about the New York bias because the magazine's editorial staff was located in New York. I mean, the writers and photographers travel everywhere, and many of them, as electronics freed people up from the office, many of them lived elsewhere, but the edit staff is located in New York, and the magazine was put together there, and there was always a tremendous consciousness about not overplaying any New York story. And the Yankees, because they are so prominent in baseball and have won so often and so forth, and because they're such a part of our cultural mythology, they're just such a fixture in the culture in general, there was always a great deal of awareness whenever you thought to put the Yankees on the cover. You always thought more about that and longer about that than just about anything else. There was a built-in resistance to doing it because there's a perception out there. It's a national magazine. There was a perception that there's an East Coast bias still, and so we wanted to negate that.
And yet I feel like, certainly in the current ownership, there's been almost a wink at the Yankee hating, where you have George Steinbrenner dressed up like King George, as an example, to go on the cover of the magazine. It's almost good for them to have that sort of animus directed their way.
Well, I think it is, and it's impossible to deny at this point in the culture. The Yankees have become such a constant and a fixture in the culture, and that's certainly an important part of what they represent to people. So it would be silly to ignore it, and even the Yankees, I think, acknowledge that. Although the Yankee organization, I think, still is very self-referential and takes itself extremely seriously. I mean, witness the monuments to George Steinbrenner that sort of reign over Monument Park in the new Yankee Stadium. I mean, he reigns over all of the great Yankees who are memorialized in center field. So they may be winking, but I think they still take it extremely seriously.
The name of the book is Damn Yankees, 24 Major League Writers on the World's Most Loved and Hated Team. It's published by Echo, and we've been speaking with Rob Flader, the editor and the former executive editor of Sports Illustrated. Rob, I really appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thank you, Ian. Appreciate it.
Strike three, ball four, walk around, high the score. High ball, double play, Yankees win again today. Those damn Yankees, why can't we beat them?
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.